I'd like to speak to you tonight on the subject, the family. I preached this same message about 8 or 10 years ago. I've thought about it a lot since then, made a few notations, maybe hopefully improvements. But if we were to preach it again next year, we probably would not be doing it exactly the same way. We learn and we grow and we develop and we mature. Working on a message right now where God enjoins His people to seek for an increasing knowledge of Him. And that means every day you ought to desire to know more of Him than you knew yesterday. It's a continuing, ongoing, transitive action all the time. So if you will, open in your Bibles this evening to Genesis chapter 2. We'll read 5 verses of Scripture and then speak on the subject of the family. In this chapter, then, just those 5 verses that pertain to the subject, but we'll limit our reading initially for verses 20 through 24 of Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2:20. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. What we just read is an amazingly simple, yet wonderful account of the origin of the family. And the originator of the family is God Himself. And it is an earthly institution. Now surely, from what we just read, there is no one with reasonable degree of intelligence, if they are honest, would find fault with this description, this true and accurate reading of the Holy Scriptures can arrive at no other outcome than that which is clearly set forth in this passage of Scripture. No one can scripturally conclude any other result than what is said here. The family that God instituted is made up of one man and one woman. Who would seek to deny that? Well, who is the denier of every truth? So the instigator of denial is Satan. And he's got lots of dupes, deceived followers who fall right in line with his deception. Now, I mentioned that from the reading of the passage, if that's all the information you had, does not honesty demand that conclusion? One man and one woman. Let's look at secular literature to verify scriptural literature. From the 20th century, unabridged Webster's Dictionary, the term family, the word family, quote, a father, mother, and their children, or any group of blood relations. That's the way the world, Webster's Dictionary, literally defines the word family. That's in perfect harmony with what God's Word says a family is. Now, another dictionary I looked at, the American College Encyclopedia, 1959 edition. That unabridged, by the way, was a 1940 edition. But that unabridged dictionary has been published as Noah Webster was the prime pusher of it for many years before 1940. There was some additions and revisions that took place over time. But this that I read is from the 1940 edition. Now, from the 1959 edition of the American College Encyclopedia, the word family, quote, parents and their children. And then another definition in that same group, all those persons descended from a common progenitor. So, honesty demands that everyone recognize and accept the fact that God created from the dust of the ground one man, Adam. And from Adam's rib made he an helpmeet, a suitable helpmeet for Adam. From all else of God's creation, which he pronounced, it is good. Listen, from all else of God's creation, which God said is good, no suitable helpmeet for Adam was found among all the other creations that God brought into existence. There was no suitable helpmeet among all those beasts of the field or whatever else was out there for Adam. That ought to tell us something as well. Not a single suitable helpmeet was present. If you look back in verse 18, the scripture says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. So when God, from Adam's rib, had made this helpmeet for him, verse 22 says, and brought her unto the man, he in that act wedded, hear me, he wedded them together, and they became one flesh, as Adam acknowledged in verse 24. Therefore, and thusly, by this means, God brought into existence the first human institution on his creation. And it was the family. The very first human institution is the family. There are three kinds or sorts of organizations or institutions that have been created by God. The family, government, ecclesia. In that order, institution created by God. Government, by which man would be able to regulate and undergird his conduct as he matured and grew. And the ecclesia would be that connection from among men whom God will call out in marvelous, sovereign grace from their fallen state that they inherited from Adam. And in this present age, beginning when he began his earthly ministry upon this earth, the incarnation of himself, and when he was 30 years old, he began his public ministry. And his church was brought into existence. Saved people that he had dealt favorably with in grace. But remember, the family had its beginning when Adam and Eve were the only two mortals on this earth. And government came about in due time. And it was about 4,000 years later when his ecclesia came into existence. Now, there are some types and shadows of the ecclesia all through the Old Testament. But there's never any such thing as an appearance of an Old Testament church. There were assemblies for various reasons. Part of it was religious. Part of it was governmental. Part of it was just normal human society in all of its many aspects. But first, God created the family. And the reason that he did, he found from within his own infinitely wise counsel. He didn't have to ask or think about or meditate upon whether or not he ought to have a family. He said in verse 18, "It is not good that the man should be alone. Therefore, I will make man a helpmeet, and I will present her to him. I will wed her to him, and they will form that family." And that family, in God's infinitely wise counsel, became the foundational segment of all of human society. The foundational segment, that upon which all other aspects of human society is built, on the family. This reality is reflected or shown forth, as we've already mentioned, because of the fact that God created the family before he created government, or Israel, or his New Testament church. All these institutions came in their due order at the appropriate time. But when each of them were brought into existence, the family was already here. The foundational institution upon which human society would function had already been set in order by God himself. The family is presently being and has been for ages now slowly and systematically destroyed as Satan has worked and is working among unbelieving mankind at the bidding and compliance with government and with organized religions of every sort and every stripe up on this earth. Don't blame Satan as being the only instigator and arouser of rebellious motions relative to the family. Government has fallen right in line because Satan is the god of this world and governments listen to him more than they listen to God. The ungodliness of their thought is planted in their intellectual beings by Satan and or by his henchmen who have influence among various stages of human government. And we're talking about local precinct, all the way to the federal government. Every level of government in between is terribly infected with that contagion of defiance of God's good order. The U.S. Census of the year 1990, two census takings ago, that census confirms that every kind of household increased except for the two-parent family. Every segment of human household increased in number and in percentage of the whole, except the two-parent family. We need to take that thought and emphasize and understand that Satan is doing all he can do to destroy the family. Therefore, if the family is destroyed, society will be totally destroyed, and there will be nothing at all for government or Israel or the Lord's church to stand upon. The family is the foundational doctrine upon which these other institutions have their footing. So Satan is wise in the sense of shrewd, wily. He's wickedly smart. Destroy the family and you underroot all other institutions that God brought into existence on this earth. Why is the government in such disarray? Because families are in disarray and were brought into that state before government showed its own colors. Why was there so much sin in Israel? After God brought them out of Egypt and gave them that promised land that they never earned, never even strove for nor desired, He gave them that land, already prepared. Why did they have trouble all their lives from the very first day they stepped across Jordan into that land? Because they were sinful men and women and boys and girls. They'd already been contaminated with the pollutions of Satan's diabolical scheme of destruction of the family. There are an ever-increasing number today, and have been continuously, increasing every year, a greater number of cases of child abuse, as an example, and domestic violence, and teenage delinquency being reported. And I'll tell you, in all these cases, many of those events occur that never get reported. So it's a whole lot worse than the record would show that it is. And it's all because the structure, the foundation of society, which is the family, is being systematically, with the malice and hatred of Satan for all things of God and His righteousness. I will be like the Most High was His taunting boast. Everything that God is for, Satan is against it, because he is diametrically opposed to God. My question now is, if this is the circumstances that we're in, and it is, And it's worse than I've described it. And you know that it's worse than I've described it. In mixed company, you have to be a little bit genteel in the language that you choose. But you know it's worse than I just said. So the question is, what can we do? We being God's people, what can we do? Don't be surprised if this message causes some trouble for our church. If anyone in government hears it. Because what I have to say is a scathing indictment of Satan and his henchmen at every level. What can we do? Let me tell you what we can do. Saved people must demonstrate God's plan for marriage. And for family life, and for family structure. We have to demonstrate what the scripture said is God's good order for the family. Simple but valid instruction. Our families can always practice in place the act of having their meals together. As a family. Do we? Most of the time, we don't. We don't. But we can. If the family is the institution that God set in order as the basic structure of all institutions, why don't we do it the way He intended for us to do it? Simple thing. We can demonstrate our willingness to serve God by doing what He said. A little simple thing. We can always practice in place the act of having our meals together as a family. We can talk and share and institute and practice daily devotions and daily Bible readings together. Do we? Most of the time, we don't. Many of you read daily from the Scriptures, but do you sit down with your family and read and contemplate and pray and meditate upon the scripture that you are presently looking into for further knowledge and information? Do you want your family to grow at the same time you're growing? Why would we be selfish? Another point. Saved people should, and let me add that stronger word, must, not just should, must protect and encourage Bible-based marriages and families. That's where it all started. First Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 4. Paul writes to the believing saints of God in the church at Thessalonica and says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, clearly he is petitioning their participation with him, and he refers to them as his brethren by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so we would abound more and more. If you read in the scriptures what God would have you to do, the question is, why don't we do it? For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. That means be in control of his own body, not the way the right to choose crowd would have you think that means. They say the woman has the right to control her body. And don't you tell me any different. That's not what this is saying. Every one of you should know how to possess whole continent, that is, under control, his vessel in sanctification and honor. Folks, God's plan for us begins with premarital abstention. You heard that. You knew that. The world, however, more and more approves, and they express their approval through movies, situation comedies, laughing at sin, open fornication and adultery. Hollywood and such outlets are continually exhibiting by the open behavior of those associated to seek compatibility before marriage. And I have three words in the form of a question. What utter nonsense. But that's what is being spread all in every aspect of human society, even in the pre-kindergarten classes in our public, and I might add, government school. I'll just talk about that for a minute. Government schools. We know them as public schools. They like to tell us that it's public schools. And you're the public. And they like to make you believe that they're there to train your children under your delegated authority for them to do so. And you never delegated authority for the government to train your children. Did you? Did you elect to turn your children at age 4 or earlier over to those folks? Government schools offer and teach and promote wickedness as being acceptable. Why do they do that? Because God has already been ruled out of their procedural activities. They've already gotten rid of God in all of their procedural activity. You don't dare even mention. And therefore, they feel liberated to establish the rules that a perverted evil mind would imagine is the proper attitude. People who are pure when they marry will likely have a more stable marriage. You know why? Because trust remains. Of those couples that lived together before marriage, 50% or more are likely to divorce than those who do not. That's not a debatable statistic. But you don't hear much about that, do you? Because you don't hear much about anything except everybody just do whatever you want. under that scenario, men and women are both, as a group of people, healthier if they abstain. And in that environment, there is no need to worry about sexually transmitted diseases or AIDS or any other of those horrendous calamities that people bring up on themselves. I say now, God's plan, and I want to remind you that the text that we chose, verses 20 through 24, God has established His plan. He tells us what His idea is and what His command is. God's plan may seem to many, at least, to be old-fashioned, but it is the plan that holds all of human society together. Why does it? Under God's plan, human trust remains, and God honors His word. Families are better following God's plan than any other plan that they may follow or contemplate following. One of the many, I use this word reluctantly, one of the many researchers, now you know what those kind of folks are, has said, and I'm going to quote, "We don't fully understand how this protective mechanism works, but it is there." Continuing, "Marriage has some kind of profound effect on human beings, presumably because it reduces stress levels in some way and protects against illness." Unquote. That is the conclusion of some researcher on this issue. Why don't the government listen to that? Why don't ordinary people listen to that? Have you ever heard anybody say what I just quoted you? And that's an official position that those who have researched the subject have concluded. Do you think the world knows about that? No, and they don't want to know. Let me repeat all that, the quote. "We don't fully understand how this protective mechanism works, but it is there." That's a conclusion. That is a definite declaration. We don't know how it works, but it works. And then they said further, "Marriage has some kind of profound effect on human beings, presumably because it, marriage, reduces stress levels in some way, and protects against illness." All these things that I talked about that are the result of promiscuity and all that foolishness. If marriage is as God intended it to be, there wouldn't be any of that. Well, how do I know all that? Does God talk about that? Look in Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 28. There's a whole lot in Ephesians 5 concerning marriage, the position of man and woman and child and all that. But Ephesians 5:28 says, "So ought man to love their wives as their own bodies." That's a complete sentence. Puts a period there. Second sentence, "He that loveth his wife loveth himself." Does that make sense? That's what God says. Well, the time is gone. We'll stop. And we'll pick this up here, the Lord willing, next Wednesday night. And I pray that you will give what we've said tonight some very serious, prayerful, meditative pondering. As the psalmist said quite often, and as Brother Matthew Stepp says about every paragraph, Selah. Think about this. I urge you to meditate upon what we've said to this point concerning the family. Lord willing, we'll pick it up.